Can you turn the microphone, please? That's not an invitation for a lot of hands and suffering. Good. The mic's on. I don't need to turn the mic on.
Okay, I have one question.
Good.
The question is, when does he plan to voluntarily withdraw from the system?
But before we move on, just a couple of reflections that might have pulled out of the very large stack of questions that have been asked. That there was one other manager that has a question. Yes.
Thank you. With all due respect, I'm filed out of the FOIAs. I'm on my third one now. And what I'm asking for is the document 6209. Are you familiar with the 6209 document? Is that something that we can put down on your site? Because from what I understand, that was the instructions to decipher the code.
Paul, can you come to the microphone and answer the question?
All I can tell you is I don't possess one, and I understand for those that are adept at using the Freedom of Information Act that it can be obtained. I think also there are one or two publishers around the country that have copies of them for sale. I also understand that in many cases people have had a tough time with a Freedom of Information Act request getting that manual, but I think it is available.
Does anyone here have a copy of 6209?
I have order forms for them and 141 other government copies.
The gentleman there will provide you with a 6209 microdrive. We will post a link to email address on how to get hold of this gentleman, or we'll post the 6209. We'll put the 6209 on the site. We will attempt to put the 6209 on the site, and if for some reason we can't do that, we'll at least provide you with any contact information. Yes, sir.
I have found that it's incredibly disruptive to use FOIA repeatedly. I've obtained my individual master file and another one called the AMTISA, AMTISA, which was activity code. So I'm done. I'm listed as an auto chassis manufacturer in Virgin Islands who's also running drugs. So one wonders what cash exactly is that they're attempting to collect from me.
It's been requested that the code be repeated. If I heard you correctly, you said the 6209 form, and now you're about it, is available on the IRS website. IRS.gov. www.irs.gov. A couple of quick questions that you can respond to that seem to be received in the chat that came up. When did the newspaper ad start? You'd like to go to the next ad, finished from yesterday.
On that point, I know there are some cottons under this table with a shirt on it over here that falls out of sitting at. If we can have someone go under that table, there are some small boxes, heavy boxes, bring those out and put one over here in front of this table and maybe one over here. Do your very best before you leave here today. Write the largest check. Sacrifice a little. Write the largest check you can write. Just say Project Taylor. Put it in this box. We have a separate fund, granted, so we have to retained, went over there. That's right, I'm going to do it better. We have retained the services of a bond and accounting firm. These expenses now very quickly. One USA is $62,700. We want to run one every week. This is very important information that we brought to the general public attention. Question is, can you make a contribution on our website? Couple of things to explain to that. Someone had to leave, but he left me this information. And we'll act on it as quickly as we can. He was the CEO, his name was Edward Vaughn. Is he still here? He indicated he's there. He's the CEO of Electronic Transaction Systems Corp., ETS Corporation. He's offering to We the People online processing of Visa and MasterCard for real time at cost below 2%. You might start the only thing that's available on our site of the video record of our conferences. And we pay a company called PCS, and we've got documented that for sure. I know we can use some more pieces, but we find it difficult to find the time to get to these things. So he's offering to make this service available to us at a cost of less than 2%. For online donations and anything so that we may have for sale on their site. Mark will get a copy of the papers of this meeting on that site just as quickly as we can. And that's the only way we can underwrite the cost associated with these kinds of conferences. Okay, here's one that Dave Boxer has indicated he'd like to answer. And that is, does Mike Levine, Bob Schultz, Joe Bannister personally file their income taxes, or are they non-filers themselves? And Dave, you've indicated you'd like to answer that. Okay.
Good afternoon. First of all, I might answer your question about myself instead of the question that was actually asked. I personally don't feel it's a question that we should ask each other to. I think it's a personal business decision and a personal business that we should ask ourselves, not the next person to us. You want to educate yourself before you do that type of thing. You want to. I have three rules, like the rules of real estate: location, location, location. It's educate, educate, educate. And it's got to be in you, not in somebody else, not in what I say, not in what I do, not in what any one of you out there do. You've got to come up with your own decision and your own reason for it. Personally, I do not file an income tax. If you look at my Social Security record, which I just received in the mail compliments of our government the other day, you'll find that since 1980, there's an incredible number of zeros. Now, it wasn't because I was so smart and knew what I was doing. It was because I was darn fooled up, quite frankly. I was doing some things that I now know were not correct and were not the proper things to do. But each one of you has got to take your knowledge, your research, not somebody else's, not the foundation's knowledge, not Steve Bosch's knowledge. It's got to be yours. You've got to verify it. And then make your own decisions, irrespective of what your neighbor does. If you decide to pay your taxes, I understand. If you decide not to pay any taxes because of the legal rationale or reasoning that you're using, I applaud you. But it's a personal decision. It's a decision you have to make for yourself. And nobody else's actions is really important to that decision. But you know where I stand anyway. I bet you get a little open about it anyway.
Michael and I have agreed we're going to move on. Will we, the people, be able to follow up on the employers upon whom the IRS crackdown has been not directed? They made that announcement, or they've indicated to David K. Johnson at the time that they were going to do that beginning last Monday, but there's been no indication about that. But would we support them in their tribulation? As you may remember, as part of Project Togo, there's a desire, an intent to create and develop a legal support system, not unlike LEARS, or Loving Education at Home, very successful program, not unlike Save a Patriot Fellowship and Care by Society. So that is very much a part of the Project Togo plan. What is the best way to introduce friends, family, etc. to Project Togo and overcome their mindset regarding their fear of the IRS? Hopefully they'll, you know, it's a strange thing. If people see it in print, they think it's more credible. You know, we've had a lot of people respond to the first day by telling us, hey, never thought you'd see something like that in the print. They see it on television or in print, it somehow becomes more credible and acceptable. But also, we will have the entire presentation on our website very soon, along with the downloadable file, the text of the USA Today ad in color, on partial background, as we did with the first ad. And if the same thing happens now that happened back then, many, many people around the country, we encourage you. Many people around the country will download that file and go to their local newspaper and have a chip in the community and raise some money to run the ad in their local newspaper. And also, many folks have already sent quantities to be handed out in their communities of that ad and do the same thing. So they can do that by downloading the file, taking it to their printer, or they can just order them from us and we'll run the copies. Either way. Is David K. Johnson still here? David?
I've been looking for him.
All right, David was here. I don't see him now, so we won't ask the question of him that's here. Question, I have to address this because we get misdirected calls to us quite frequently. Because Lynn Meredith is still a part of the We the People Foundation. Lynn Meredith's We the People organization is an entirely separate organization. Has absolutely no connection with our organization. And nor do we have any connection with Jerry Brown, who has We the People organization as well, the former governor of California. Okay, unless someone has a question that they're feeling, can't wait for an answer. We will try to get all questions and answers posted on the website very soon. But unless someone has a can't wait for an answer, we're going to move on. The question was John Stossel contacted? Yes. Tony from John Stossel's producer, Ted Gallagher, and Kelly, contacted us a while ago asking for all copies, copies of all of the videotapes on the four prior conferences, And we talked to Ted Gallagher, when I was in Ohio. I was in Iowa with my wife for surgery. And he was very receptive. He sent an email to him, formal invitation, and he will take it personally into John's hospital. And we did ask him if he could come and speak here today. My wife told me yesterday that she thinks she might have blown that call. Not that we know what the other said. Apparently, he did call Wesley probably to give his apologies for not being able to attend the meeting of the rest of the service. So we don't know what this one was, but I'm sure if he was, could make it, that he would have been there. That's all I know. Okay. Is there an address to send a check? There is a sheet, a single sheet in your packet that's called Project Toto, What You Can Do to Help. And there we provide an address for checks. But we also provide information for wire transfers into the special Project Toto fund. The account number and the routing number is there. Been asked to make this announcement. Would you announce that copies of Martin Rose's report are outside, as well as a letter which he wants to send to IRS Commissioner Rosati seeking signatures? Okay, I understand that about 75 copies of Martin Rose's research, taxable income. I think it was quite, if I can say this, I shouldn't really speak negatively about David K. Johnson. He's not here to respond, but I found it quite offensive that David, along with me, before he was November 19th, article in the New York Times, discounted what Larkin Rose was worth, what Larkin Rose had to say. He referred to him as nothing more than a medical transcriptionist. I found that quite offensive because, you know, one thing does not. Clearly, if he was able to read and comprehend and does a pretty decent job of research and reporting, and it is a very decent job, very well known work on the 861 sources argument, clearly it doesn't matter what a man does in his lifetime. And I don't know what I can do in medical training in this country. Okay. Yes. And how non-responsive they've been, none of that came out in his article. Instead, but I did say to him in that interview, I said, David, you seem to be taking the place of the federal government here. You are saying what most people are looking to have said. Some arguments in opposition, not that you're correct, but he was offering all of these arguments in opposition to the researchers. And I said, what you need to do is get on the agenda of one of these meetings and be here. Since federal governments won't attend, maybe you will. He identified himself as reporting for the Times for some 30 years, and he's their number one tax reporter. Very familiar with all these issues. what we find quite offensive is his willingness to refer to people like the employees as tax cheats, and proud the government to refer to them as tax cheats without offering any rebuttal to the fundamental argument that they're embracing. There's none of that in any of the recordings. As I handed this, won't say who it's from, but the check has begun to arrive. Apparently, here's one for $5,000. Well, thank you, sir. Okay, we'd like to move on. We're quite behind on our schedule. I didn't check with the employers or the former IRS agents before I put them on the agenda, so it's quite understandable that they may have been declined with invitation. Could you speak for 10 minutes of speech, whatever's on their minds, what they might think about Project Toto, what they might share with us in terms of their experiences to get the IRS, and the federal government to talk to those, to address these issues that they and others have raised. So let's hear from the employers, those who are willing to thank you words, and we'll go down the line. As I recall reading about employers over the last 2 years, in the order that I began to read about them, hear about them. First off, of course, was David Bostic, the smarter employer. David, you have something you'd like to say.
Yes, Bob, if you force me into it, I guess I'll try. Some of you remember a statement that I made at Location Downtown a few months back. I'll make it again because I like to see the reaction on the faces. I love the income tax law just the way it's written. Now that I understand. I've spent a lot of years of my life not understanding it. Spent a lot of years helping our government, who I was taught and raised up on a good farm up in Michigan, to trust and believe that our government would never do anything to us, like I've discovered, like others have discovered, like many of you are discovering as we go. Three things I want to point out to you. I briefly touched on this before, so it's the real estate people. Educate, educate, educate. And it's yourself that has to be educated first. Spend the time. Make the effort. Don't believe a word that I say. Don't believe a word that anybody says. We just referenced Larkin's report. As much as I've studied this issue, I would not try to redo that report, if you will. It's an excellent document. But I would take that document and I would go to the law library and I would look it up. Take the reference. Look up the research. Put it in your heart's mind. Don't put it in Larkin's report and put it in your file and call it good. Project Toto. Couple of quick comments. First of all, tomorrow afternoon I'm going to find a 7-year-old daughter and we're going to snuggle up on the bed and we're going to watch that movie again. Yeah. What I remember, because I had 5 children, our 7-year-old was the daughter of my daughter who passed away and we've adopted her. So I'm starting to say a new family, if you want to look at it that way, or a new generation. But that's really the children and the grandchildren, that's why I'm involved. I could have taken that check 2 years ago, actually 20 months ago now. Cash to check, sent the money back to the employees, and disappeared. And I'd have been free. And none of you would have known about it. But each one of us has got to stand up. We've got to be our own total, if you will. Imagine, just look at the crowd here. If every one of them in our cities and villages and hamlets where we're from held back the curtain so that our fellow residents could see what it's all about and watch what would happen when it's read. There's something here that is so powerful that
is mind-boggling as far as descriptions have been going. But every one of you can participate, whether it's dollars, whether it's action, whether it's just simply sharing the knowledge that you've gained of what is there. Let's talk about where we're going. And I'm talking about Dave and his company specifically, not necessarily everybody else, but everybody else is going to be able to tag along if they would like. We're testing some new items out there. There's been a recent discovery, at least to me anyway, of section 7343 in the code. Everybody wants to write this one down and do some research. People have asked me, why are you willing to speak out? Why are you willing to stand up and talk? After all, what is it, 72 or something says that, you know, if you conspire to defraud the government, we can throw you in jail. No. It's a pure one. It's a pure statute that we all realistically should have. But if you look at 7343, and I'm not going to tell you all of the answers, but I'm going to tell you where to look. If you look at 7343, trace the legislative history of that. If you look at 7343, it becomes a person. A person, when you read that under the code, for purposes of this chapter, it's a person that sounds like you and you and me. Gee, why am I doing that? I sound like one of those persons that can be put in jail. Go look up the legislative history of the thing. You'll find there are 9 definitions of the word person. Your homework assignment. Figure it out. Send me an email of what you found. You'll find something very amazing, and I can stand here because of what I know about that and talk to anybody. I can conspire on the phone with people all over the country to do that. We have used that information in a group that I work with very closely to literally stop indictments in their tracks. We don't know if that caused it because nobody ever tells us. But upon receiving it, the U.S. Attorney has stopped the indictment process for individuals. It's happening at this point in time. We will be testing it very shortly in the courts under the habeas corpus rule. And it appears that we can overturn existing prison sentences. We don't know if it's good, but we're excited. As soon as we've got results, they'll be posted and they'll be put out for everybody to see. But for me personally, with what I know at this point in time, I have no fear of conspiring with any one of you. If it violates the 1045 tax, because it's not one of the 9 that are listed. But look it up and see what you think. Paul raised the issue of 1.8.17 of the Constitution, the jurisdictional issue. Quite frankly, wearing my blue jacket, compliments of Bob that he sent to me, I've worn that into a number of IRS office meetings. That always gives a nice look from the IRS agents, by the way. But when we have raised the jurisdictional issue, we've either caught them totally off guard so they don't know how to respond to it, or they have no response. And it's been a very interesting thing. Our unit hasn't been tested enough. Now, I can't talk about this, but there is a court case already in the country that is raising that issue that so far the government has not said a word about. They have not responded to the issue. In fact, they've been set there. I don't know the outcome. I'm sure it's not going to be for months yet before we're done, but it's already in the courts at this point in time. Let me talk about what my company is doing in support of Project Toto, in support of We the People. We are taking, we normally would have an attorney on staff who would handle our contract work and our various things that we would need an attorney from a business standpoint. It is my plan, and I'll say this, it's still a plan, it's not a reality yet. It's my plan to put 4 attorneys on staff. Those 4 attorneys will spend the excess time with a clean sheet of paper, starting through everything that we've learned in the last 20 or 40 years or whatever, and reevaluate everything from a clean sheet of paper standpoint. Once we have got something that we feel is a supportable, brief document, etc., we will publish it and give Bob the, and we the people the rights to reproduce it any way that they want to. It'll be free for him. The process that we're going to go through, number one is some, I'm from the Tampa Bay area in Florida. There's some retired U.S. District Court judges who live in Sarasota who heard about what we're up to. And they've asked if they could come in and sit on the bench in the mock trial that we're going to be holding. That we're going to take an issue and put two attorneys on one side, two attorneys on the other side, and let's tear the issue apart on any way that we can. The goal is very simple. I want IRS to know every tool that the body has got available. And once we've got these done and the judges issue their opinions, good, bad, or indifferent, we're going to publish the transcript of the mock trial so that anybody can look at it, including IRS. Some people have told me I'm foolish to tell them what we're up to. But I think having the knowledge on their part will slow them down if what we've got is real. That we'll find out when the judge makes his decision. Those things are happening. I have thousands of clients in my company. One of the cornerstone things that's going to happen in the weekly newspaper, the monthly newspaper, that's going out to them is a tax plan. We're going to publish the various functions that relate to our people as to what we see, what's happening. Remember that we've already reversed $2.3 million in gross wages, quote-unquote, in 1099s and W-2s. And the people deserve to know why we're not sending them those documents. What I can't talk about other than mentioning is that I just reversed over $20 million worth of 1099s for a company. That filing is in process right at this moment. Then we can talk about it. There will be details available on it. If you haven't figured it out, as lawyers are generally, employers are somewhat reluctant to stand up and be counted. Let me close with this. I did simply because of the grandchildren. I live in a better country than my parents left me. Not following my parents, but I want to leave a better country than and what all of us got from the evening.
The second employer that most of us heard about, who had begun to stop withholding and filing W-2s and 1099s, for much the same reason as employees. There's a Texas employer in Bedford, Texas, by the name of Dick Sinkin. Dick, would you like to say a few words?
Well, good afternoon, everybody.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Bob Schultz and Mike Bobine and all the other people that was involved in putting this magnificent symposium together. It's the fifth symposium, I think, in an ongoing series. And I would like to say that the first four meetings, if you will, were held in a foreign country, Washington, District of Columbia. But this meeting, this fifth meeting, is here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, our country. My name is Dick Buchanan, and I'm the CEO and founder of L Custom Classes, which is located in Bedford, Texas. I've asked the IRS plenty of questions on various parts of the laws. I've asked my congressman, who incidentally is not here today, he's been invited. So I consider myself kind of a delegate here from Texas. And I'd like to introduce you to a few other people that I also consider delegates from Texas. My entire management staff. Jerry Williams is the plant manager Brian Malatesta is a company CPA and accounting. Randy Hageman, production manager and process engineer. And Lewis Morris, touring manager and design engineer. You guys raise your hands or stand up. This country was founded on principles of freedom. Our founding fathers wanted us, you and I, to be free. They shed blood, they died, men and women, so that we could live in a country free. The people settled originally in 13 colonies, which eventually became commonwealths and then states. You refer to your state here on the East Coast as commonwealths. Do we refer to our states up in the Midwest and out West as republics? Or do we say the state of? The state of. I think that we need to fight propaganda with propaganda. When our politicians speak to us and they say we have a wonderful democracy, I don't think so. I think the government is a democracy trying to rule a nation that is a republic. What's the definition of a public servant? Are we the service? Did not the people form the states and the states form the federal government? Who's at the top of this list? We are. Now, if the things have been turned around, it's been upside down. The federal government seems to be on top. They want to rule the states and they want to rule us. People ask me, well, Dick, aren't you kind of nervous and shaking in your boots because of this article that's just come out by the New York Times? Well, if I was, I wouldn't be here. I would be back in Texas trying to figure out how to fill my Tim's Pretty Form out. No, I'm not afraid of this, of the IRS. Bill Benson is not afraid of the IRS. He's been in jail. They almost killed that man. He's been a lot for our country. And I fought. And there's many other patriots that are fighting to be free. We don't want to be tax cheats or not pay our fair share. I mean, really, what does that mean? All we're trying to do is obey the laws. In a republic, you have a law, a land of laws. In a democracy, you have 51% controlling 49%. And if you're one of the 51%, great, you win. But if you happen to be one of the 49%, you lose. In a republic, where the government is forced to obey the laws as written, we all win. And is that so hard? Now, I'm not going to ramble on. There's a lot of things to talk about. Somebody said that the target was a rich field out there. The money supply, the Federal Reserve, income taxes, gun control, all of these things that government is shutting down our throats. But I will leave you with one bit of information. Does the Bible support or admonish the income tax? What does the Bible have to say about taxation? It has a lot to say about taxation. That was alluded on here a few minutes ago with pertaining to money. But I leave you with one verse to look up. I won't tell you where it is. But I will say that it definitely an admonishment to the IRS system, and that is Malachi 3:5. Or some might call it Malachi 3:5. And with that, I don't know how you're going to do the questions and answers. All right. Thank you.
The third employer that we, at least that I have heard about, is Rick Jackson, the California employer, and Rick is a bachelor. The next employer after Nick that we heard about was Al Thompson, another California employer. Al, would you like to say a few words?
Good afternoon. Thanks, Bob, for this meeting and for the time that you put in. This is extremely important. July 21st was a turning point for me. I had been studying this issue for a long time. I had stopped filing my returns in April 9th of 2000. And it was okay for me to do that on my individual. It only involved me. But I realized that I was playing on both sides of the playing field by withholding my workers' funds because I had known better. And we had gotten two new employees or two new workers coming in. My general manager comes in and says, "Well, we have two new people that are asking for their W-4s. What do we do?" So she knew what we were, what I was thinking. And I said, "Okay, let's call a meeting." I called the meeting for all the workers and told them that they no longer were going to have their money withheld by me because I felt that they did not earn gross income as defined by the tax code. And also, they are not what we would call employees in the sense of the term as described in Subtitle E of Title 26, which is basically means that they are federal workers or federal employees, and that's what the definition is. So they looked at me like I was an alien from Mars. It was really quite remarkable the different reactions we got. I did lose two workers, but we have since replaced them, and as we rehire them, they are very, very happy not to have their money withheld, and they're happy to know that they didn't owe the tax in the first place. If Karl Marx were to come down and after all these years of being dead and look upon the IRS, he would have been very proud. This is a totally Marxist system through and through. And the problem in our federal government at this point in time is socialism. If we can get socialism rooted out of our government, the better off we're all going to be. Mr. Hart, of the IRS wrote a few days ago, and I quote, "The employees are being scammed by their bosses." Now, I'd like to ask Mrs. Hart, maybe she'll answer it on Monday morning, how do you scam somebody by giving them all of their money? I want to know how to do that. Is there anybody here know how to do that? And then one of the other quotes in that same article, they called us tax cheats. And they made the comment that wages are sources. Wages, if you look at the tax code in section 61, wages are items of gross income or performances of some sort of a service. And in 861, in your regulations, that's where it shows where taxable sources are. And this is one of the primary reasons why I did not file an income tax return. This was the beginning of my understanding of this, is because you have to have gross income for purposes of the income tax in order to have a liability. I also started looking around the code, and I've enlisted Joe Banister's help, and we're finding that the IRS doesn't care one hoot about administrative due process. In my particular case, we are getting none of it. Everything that they do is wrong, and it is off the book. They have no delegation of authority to do anything regarding my case. To give you a specific example, is there's an appeals opportunity or whatever that we were supposed to have. Joe was going to make an appointment, and throughout the discussion of this particular appointment, the revenue agent says, well, can we talk? And Joe says, sure, we can talk a little bit. And the issue was the previous due process was not adhered to, so we shouldn't even be into the collections part, we should be into the examinations. The Internal Revenue Service said that the courts have ruled against all of this, your claims are frivolous, you just had your due process meeting, and he hangs up on Joe. Okay, this is not an honest agency. And I think asking them, and I respect Bob and I respect his heart in wanting to go to the Internal Revenue Service and ask them, gee, you know, we're seeing this in the law, but something else is here, they could care less. They really don't. And they certainly don't in my case, and I don't know if it's a good idea to waste a lot of time with these people. The idea now is to educate, move it forward, and try to get the Internal Revenue Service out of the lives of every American. And one thing you have to, before I got to say, I know there's been a lot of speakers here, and I appreciate the opportunity. One of the things when you're studying this Internal Revenue Service code, what I'm finding is you have to look in two separate spots. One is Subtitle A, which refers to gross income, and the people who are liable for that are non-resident aliens and foreign corporations, and that's in Subtitle A, and that's where your 861 provision comes in regarding gross income. Now, in Subtitle C, there's your employment taxes, and so that's another place where you have to look to see where somebody's liable. That refers mostly to, refers only to federal workers. And so those are the two spots where gross income for tax purposes occurs. But where it gets tricky is the definition of the United States. And what I'm seeing, and this is my understanding, and for Subtitle A and Subtitle C, my understanding of the term United States only refers to the federal states and the federal zones, and it doesn't refer to the union states, such as California, New York, Arizona, and so forth. However, if you look at Section 4612, you'll find the definition of the United States changes. It changes to the 50 states, including the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, Guam, Virgin Islands, and all of that. So what you have is a little shell game that the code is playing with you, and it really plays with your head because you're trying to understand something that, once you understand it, it looks simple, but boy, it takes a long time to learn this. So you folks need to not only understand the 861 argument, the gross income argument, you need to understand jurisdiction. The separation of powers is very important. The federal government has very, very limited powers, and the only power it really has is what is put into their purview with the Constitution. So you have to be real careful how you list yourself. If you sign an income tax return, you're saying you're a U.S. citizen, which you're claiming to be a resident of one of the possessions. Now, we have, I think I pretty much covered all of that. There are some other things about 861 that I found interesting. I think for the Internal Revenue Service, the worst nightmare is to have a bunch of educated people read the law as Congress passed it. And I think it's time for us to start reading the law, and we will become the IRS's worst nightmare. Thank you.
And the fifth employer that we have come to learn as Dr. Foley of filed W-279, is from New York. But it's called Batavia, New York, in the western part of the state. And that company is under the ownership of Lennox Roberto. And the company is Batavia Enclosures. Okay.
Before I initially decided to come down here, I didn't have any intention of speaking. I came here to stand on the shoulders of great men like Bill Benson and Dave Bossett. Dave gave me some advice a few months ago when we were here last. He said, make a research your own. He said it then, he said it again today. It was probably the best advice I've received since I got into this about 3 years ago. I've had some revelations since I've been here. I thought I'd share them with you. I don't have anywhere near the intellectual capacity of some of these great men that have been here before, but I do have some insights that I thought I would share with you. I figured out the difference between lawyers and real people today. Lawyers tell you pay now and for a third I'll help you get back what you can. I say, it's mine, you want it, come get it. I'm also determined that Washington is suffering from a form of mental illness called intellectual atrophy. They have no idea what we're doing, but it's not their fault. They read the New York Times. A couple of years ago, a fellow that's sitting somewhere in here, Dan Deering, he's a friend of mine, much to his chagrin, tried to convince me that the payment of income tax was voluntary. I said, yeah, so it's going to jail. But he was right. And I researched this as I could, being a business owner, and came to the conclusion that the income tax was voluntary. And hey, I don't want to volunteer. So I stopped paying income tax about a year ago. As the owner of the company, though, I have the livelihood of other people to think about, and their families and children and so on. And so the decision to discontinue the holding from them was much more severe than being willing to go to jail myself. But I get a lot of good guys that work for me, and I figured, hey, if I'm going to jail, they'd be good company. So on January 1st, we began this. Not withholding from their paycheck, and all of them have bought new wheelbarrows for the extra money. I also am a pastor, and I believe what the Bible says. I try as hard as I can to do what I believe the Bible says. Unfortunately, I fail more often than I want you to know. But I know this one verse. It says, to him that knoweth, it's good to do it now. If you know that the payment of income tax is wrong, if you know that you are adversely affecting the people that you are working with and working for, or who work for you, if you know that America is in crisis and you do nothing, then dread the day you stand before the Lord. America is not in. You know what? I don't even know my own address. I'm probably the worst guy. I can go with hundreds of verses in the Bible and tell you where half of them are. But I'll tell you what the 61 argument is. Our nation is not having a tax crisis, in spite of what many of you have said or believed. Our nation is having a crisis of freedom. It's a crisis of freedom when an agency of government will refuse to give its people who earnestly request information the information needed to make prudent, rational, legal decisions. It's a crisis of freedom when the only response of the government to the pleadings of its people is to bring the U.S. Marshal in and confiscate their wealth without the process of law. And it's a crisis of freedom when The presidency is a stain, as it has been, and our elected officials have nothing on their minds except re-election. I have two boards. Actually, I have three. But two of them are in the services of the United States. One of them serves in the United States Navy, and the other one serves in the United States Air Force. I instructed both of them to be on guard that their government does not ask them to act against the goodwill of the American people. I was recently in Norfolk, Virginia, and had the pleasure of dealing with several sailors who now know what I think. And they have committed that they will not act on behalf of a government who is violating the rights of the American people. Your wishes and your requests are being heard, maybe not by Washington, but by the sailors who sail our ships, the pilots who fly planes, and the soldiers who fight to keep you free.
Take a few minutes and hear from those former IRS agents who might be here. More than unknown to me, I know about Jill Bannister and Sherry Jackson. If there are others, step forward if you care to. Jill, would you like to say a few words?
I would like to say a few words. Thank you.